We got to mix up and we got to learn to love. Hey, you know what we have to learn to do? Look at chapter 15. This is what we have to learn to do. We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. So we have to be concerned about those that are sensitive. Because some people are very sensitive, right? And you don't want to be harsh on people that are sensitive towards things, right? You want to be very nice and gentle. It says we should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. So these are just some cool practical things to do. If someone's sensitive and you know they have a sensitive issue going on in their life, or they think something's sensitive and they're sensitive about it, you might not want to just lead with that issue, right? You know, they got a big pimple on their nose. And you're like, oh, hey, you know, you got a pimple on your nose. No, I mean, but you don't, you know, some people like are sensitive towards things in life, you know, especially when you're growing up. You know, acne is one of those things where you grow up and you get a little acne and you're like, oh my God, you know what I mean? And it's so sad. Junior high is like the worst because junior highers don't care about nothing and they're not sensitive at all, right? So you go to junior high, right? And there's always some dude who's like, oh, hey, you know, you got a bunch of acne. You know, and you're like, oh, thank you. You know what I mean? And they say it in front of everybody in the hall. So it's talking about just being, you know, considerate towards your brother in Christ. You know, that's really the context, is those within the church that are sensitive about certain things, you know, just. And then it says to build one another up. You guys should be helping each other up and pointing each other towards God. You know, hopefully you have a friend. If your friend doesn't do this, they might not be a friend. And that's the scary thing, is like, this is just basic friendly, like, instruction, like how, what a friend looks like. So if your friend doesn't do this, they might not be a godly friend. They might be a friend, but they're just not a godly friend. You know what I mean? And we have a lot of friends, but it doesn't mean every friend is a godly friend. So if a friend says to you, hey, are you trusting God? If your friend doesn't say that, if your friend never says, hey, are you trusting God? Then they might not be a godly friend. I mean, they might be a friend, but they might not be one who's godly. They're pointing you towards the things of God. You know what I mean? So you want someone in your life who at least, you know, like if Bo's doing cocaine, I want someone to say, hey, Bo, dude, trust in the Lord, dude. Don't do cocaine. You know what I mean? I don't want someone to just have a friend to be like a deadbeat, just all, that's awesome, Bo. You know what I mean? Anybody can be a deadbeat friend. That's what I learned in life. Anybody can be just a deadbeat buddy. You know, they can just like what you like. Just you say, oh, I like this music. And they go, yeah. Oh, I like this food. And they go, oh, yeah. Anybody can do that. People will do that and lie to your face all the time just because they want to be your friend. And then, oh, man, what app did you download? I downloaded this one. Oh, I'm going to too. That's cool. You know, that's not the kind of friend you want. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying, we should have people in our life that build us up. People that are saying, hey, you know what, man, is that really a good thing? You know, like, have you prayed about that? Those are friends, people that point you like that. What I learned when I gave my life to Christ is that I really didn't have any godly friends. That's what I learned when I really committed my life to Jesus Christ. It hit me like, man, you know, I don't think I have any godly friends in my life. And it took me some time to make new friends, people that our friendship was based off of our relationships with God, not based off of, you know, we go to Red Hot Chili Pepper concerts kind of thing, which I did go to a lot of. We should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord, for even Christ didn't live to please himself, as the scriptures say. So Jesus is our example. Who did Jesus live for? Yeah, he lived for the Father, and he went to please the Father, you know. But he says some interesting things. He said, I did not come to be served, right? I did not come to be served by you guys, but I came to what? To serve you, right? I came to serve you and give your life as a ransom. So Paul sets us like a pattern for friendship. What should friendship look like, you know, in the church? What should it be like? You know, someone who doesn't, who is not out for you to serve them, right? But your heart should be to serve other people, someone else. You should be a heart to serve your friends. How can you help your friends? You know, that should be your heart. You know, not what you can get out of them, but what you can give, kind of thing. And that's his example. Now, I can barely read that. Verse 4, I think it says, wow. Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. And the scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we patiently wait for God's promises to be fulfilled. Basically, let me reread that in the way that I see it. Such things were written in the Old Testament. And the Old Testament gives us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. See, God, the Old Testament's important to read because it's filled with a bunch of promises of God. And if you don't know the Old Testament, you're not going to know the promises of God. So when the world's going to hell, right, and all the politics of the world and the world systems are going down and, you know, things are going crazy in the world, you don't sit there and stress about it, but you understand the promises of God. And most of those promises are in the Bible are found in the Old Testament scriptures about what God would do, that He would take care of us, that He's going to help us, that He's going to provide for us. That's what the Psalms are all about, man, is that God would be our refuge and our fortress, you know, our strength, our strong tower, the place we can run to. We can, you know, Isaiah, mount up on wings like eagles. We can, you know, run and you know, we'll be able to overcome. I mean, all these wonderful promises. So it's important for us to read the Word. If we don't read the Word, we don't have the promises. If we don't have the promises, man, we're not going to know what to trust when times of trial come our way. Verse 5 says, may God who gives this patience and an encouragement help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Jesus Christ. So that's a beautiful passage, right? That may the patience and encouragement that we find in the Scriptures help us to have a unity with each other, a wonderful relationship with one another. If ever you guys are beefed with one another in this room or in the church, you know, you got to understand that God doesn't desire that. God never desires for us to be not in unity or not comforting one another. And if you're upset about someone in here or someone's upset at you or whatever it is, do your best, the Bible says, to reconcile. Do whatever it takes, man, for the sake of Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? Not for your own sake. Get your own yuck out of it. For the sake of the Lord, dude, who died for you, who died for His church. You know? I mean, does Jesus on the cross mean anything to any of you? And if it does, then you get your poop out of the way and put it aside and go up to someone and say, hey, I'm sorry. I need to do better next time. You know, get your pride out of there. You know? And that's what he's saying. It's like, man, when we read the Bible, dude, it should have an effect on me. You know what I mean? It should do something to me to want to, like, love Mike. Not go, oh, dude, you know, God, Mike bothered me the other day. He looked at me with this weird, crooked look. And, man, he's been looking at me that way for a long time. And I'm really bent at that. I'm really ticked off. And you know what I did? I messaged him on Facebook, and he didn't even get back to me. I think he's upset. And I'm not sure what it is. I don't even know what I did to him. That stuff's lame, right? So sad. Instead of just going up to him and going, hey, Mike, dude, I just thought you were mad the way you're looking at me. And Mike's probably going to go, dude, what do you mean? I have a lazy eye, so it kind of goes crooked. You know, and I'm like, oh, sorry, dude. For the last year and a half, I thought you were mad at me. Yeah, totally. So that's what Paul's getting at. It says that we may be fitting for followers of Jesus Christ, right? That we may be fitting followers, man. He's our king, man. We want to be knights, you know, of his round table, so to speak, in a fitting way, in a right way. And it says, then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God. Why do we sing songs? So that we can join together with what? praise, but why do we do it together? No. What does it say there? It says that you can join together with what voice? With what voice? One voice, right? Why do we sing songs together? Because we're one body before God. We're unified. That's why we do it. It's because we're saying to God, we're unity together. We all sing the same song together as one. And we're much stronger together as one than we are separately. I've never seen any soccer game where I don't care how good the girl is that plays, and she thinks she's a stud, and she's like deacon, and da-da-da-da. I don't care how good she is. She's going to do crappy in that game if she don't pass the ball. And I don't know how many soccer games I've been at where I've seen awesome girls play where I'm like, pass it. On the sideline, I'm like, okay, pass it. And they don't pass. They're just like, oh, yeah, dude, I'm jamming. And they go around one, and then they're like, I'm going to school this one. And they go through another one, and they're like, yeah. And I'm like, you ain't going to do it. Because you've got too many people that are against you. You need to use your teammates. And everybody on the sideline, every parent is going, even their parents, like, pass it. Pass the ball. You know what I mean? But they won't. Ball hogs, because they think they can do it on their own. God says you lift up one voice because we're doing it in unity. And that's what it should be in your heart. You know, that's why we sing, and that's what should be in your heart, is we're a one body. We sing one song. Because we're together, man. We're going down. If your house blew up, Bethany, tonight, guess what? Guess where your mom's calling? She's probably going to reach out to who? The church. That's right. Balance. If something happens to your parents, your sister, who are you going to call? The church. You know, Talitha, what's your parents going to do? They're probably going to call the church. You know, that's what's going to happen, is the church is going to be a resource. We all are resources for one another, right? That when you call the church, you're not calling a certain person. What we're doing is relying on the body of Christ. Sure, it might be Eileen, who's the secretary, but we're relying on the body of Christ. We're unified. We're resources for one another. Verse 7, therefore accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. I love that. Accept one another. Remember that Christ came as a servant to the Jews. Remember that. Jesus came as a servant to who? That's what it says right there, dude. He came as a servant to the Jews. That's right. And it says, to show that God is true to the promises he made to their ancestors. Is God true to his promises? Absolutely. That's why Jesus came. It was for the Jews. Should we trust in the promises of God? Absolutely. You could see his logic saying, if Jesus is the fulfillment of the promises to the Jewish people, then aren't the promises in the Bible, aren't they going to be, you know, met as well by God for us? Absolutely. God will meet them to us Gentiles as well. Now look at verse 9. He also came so that the Gentiles might give glory to God for his mercies to them. That is the psalmist meant. That's what the psalmist meant when he said, for this I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praise to your name. In another place it is written, rejoice with his people, you Gentiles. And yet again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all you people of the earth. So he's just quoting the Old Testament. This is the Bible he knew. This is what he's reading, these wonderful promises. So he's showing us how these promises have been fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And says, and in another place in Isaiah, the heir of David's throne will come and he will rule over the Gentiles and they will place their hope on him. Verse 13, I pray that God, the source of all hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I am fully convinced, my dear brothers and sisters, that you are full of goodness. You know these things so well that you can teach others also about them. And that's what you're going to do for us today, is you are going to teach us from the Scriptures as you guys go through your answers. You guys can teach us. It'll be great, because I'm confident that you guys listen. Okay, now even so, I have been bold enough to write about some of these points, knowing that all you need is to remember For by God's grace, I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus to you Gentiles. I bring you the good news so that I might present you as an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. That's what we are. We have been made holy by the Holy Spirit. You might not feel holy today, and that's okay. I don't feel that holy either. But God says that I am holy, so I am going to trust Him that I am holy by the blood of Jesus Christ. It says, I bring you, verse 17, so I have reason to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God. Yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them. Isn't that cool? He says, man, all I'm going to boast is about what Jesus has done in my life. Did Jesus do a lot in Paul's life? Guess who he reached? Our ancestors. That's what he did. So pretty big deal, right? Yeah, pretty massive. They were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and the power of God's Spirit. In this way, I have been fully presented, or I presented the good news of Christ from Jerusalem all the way to I can't even read that with my eyes. Anyway, verse 20. My ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where the church has already been started by someone else. I have been following the plan spoken of in the Scriptures where it says, those who have never been told about Him will see, and those who have never heard of Him will understand. So Paul's just going through the Bible, and he reads a passage in the Old Testament, and he goes, hey, the Bible says that we should go to new places. So that's what I'm going to do in my life. I'm going to go to places that have never been reached, and I'm going to preach the gospel. Isn't that cool? He just simply did that. I mean, and that's really what it is. It's reading the Bible and going, hey, this is what God says. I'm going to trust that. That's what he did. He's no different from us. That's what we want to do. So this is a beautiful chapter of really the pattern that we're supposed to kind of be living in a daily way. In fact, my visit to you has been delayed so long because I have been preaching in these places. So he wants to go to Rome, but he's been preaching the gospel in these Gentile towns, other ones. It says, but now I have finished my work in these regions, and after all these long years of waiting, I am eager to visit you. I am planning to go to Spain, and when I do, I will stop off in Rome. And after I have enjoyed your fellowship for a little while, you can provide for my journey. But before I come, I must go to Jerusalem to take a gift to the believers. What's going to happen to him there? Does anybody know? When he takes the gift to Jerusalem, remember what happens? What happens to Paul? He gets arrested. That's what happens. And then he gets taken to Rome, but as a prisoner. For you see, the believers in Macedonia and Achaia have eagerly taken up an offering for the poor among the believers in Jerusalem. They were glad to do this because they feel they owe a real debt to them. Since the Gentiles received the spiritual blessings of good news from the believers in Jerusalem, they feel at the least they can do is return is to help them financially. As soon as I have delivered this money and completed this good deed of theirs, I will come to see you on my way to Spain. And I am sure that when I come, Christ will richly bless our time together. Dear brothers and sisters, I urge you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to join in my struggle by praying to God for me. Do this because of your love for me given to you by the Holy Spirit. Pray that I will be rescued from those in Judea who refuse to obey God. Pray also that the believers there will be willing to accept the donation I am taking to Jerusalem. Then, by the will of God, I will be able to come to you with a joyful heart and will be an encouragement to each other. And now may the God who gives his peace be with you all. Amen. So it's cool. At the end, he just says, hey, I'm going to bring the gift, a financial gift to the Jews. And because the Jewish people are poor right now in Jerusalem, why don't you, you know, Gentiles, non-Jewish people, support them, help them out. They spiritually have blessed you. Jesus is a Jew, and so you know, the church in Jerusalem, you should bless them, man. They spiritually have given to you the Bible, and Jesus is from their line. So it goes to reckon that you can help them out financially. And then he longs to be with them. So that's chapter 15. Chapter 16, Peter's going to finish off. So let's get in groups.